Now, a bit earlier in the year, you may well have caught word of the true crime podcast, The Teacher's Pet. It's a podcast investigating the disappearance and murder of Lyn Dawson, who went missing way back in 1982. The podcast took a deep dive into the lead-up to her disappearance and pretty well pinned her husband, Chris Dawson, for the murder of his then-wife. Now, on Wednesday, Chris Dawson was arrested by police and refused bail, being charged 36 years on with Lyn Dawson's murder. And while some who follow the case are already claiming that justice will be done with his incarceration, Dawson and his legal team do maintain his innocence. In the media turmoil that surrounded this for so long, especially the really distinct accusations made by the Teacher's Pet podcast, there's a pretty high risk that Dawson's trial won't necessarily be fair. On the line to have a chat with us a bit more, we have Dr. Andrew Burke. He's an associate lecturer at Macquarie University. Andrew, thanks so much for chatting with us this morning.
No worries at all, Tess. It's good to be here.
What do you think are going to be the hardest aspects of making this trial fair?
Well, obviously the potential contamination of the jury pool of people who might have listened to the podcast or read other media reports. The system, legal system, does have ways of dealing with this, though. This is not the first time, obviously, that a criminal trial has been high profile and been heavily reported in the media. So they will try to vet jurors. They will ask them if they've listened to the podcast or if they've followed other media reports and so on, and try to come up with a jury that does not know much about it, does not have any preconceived ideas.
And you mentioned that there are, of course, there have been other cases like this previously. What were some of the big ones?
Well, the most famous one that always comes to mind is the Lindy Chamberlain case. You have to remember, you're probably not old enough, I certainly remember, that the whole country believed Lindy Chamberlain was guilty. All the media reported it that way. The public believed it. We now know that there was a terrible miscarriage of justice and the system failed completely and that she was not, in fact, guilty at all. So we have had these cases where, in high-profile matters, where there's been a lot of coverage, the system is seen to have failed because everybody got on board with a certain way of thinking that turned out to be false.
I imagine that there is, you know, if this trial of Chris Dawson does come out to say that he is innocent, we'll probably see a similar thing of people getting quite angry about it.
Look, that's possible. And you have to remember here, always with this trial of Chris Dawson, the podcast, sure, pushes things in a certain direction, but it is a very difficult case for the prosecution to make out. It's very difficult, these sorts of cases, because they have to convince the jury beyond reasonable doubt that Lynette Dawson is dead. That's a very high bar to reach in the absence of a body. It's possible that she isn't dead. How can you prove it beyond reasonable doubt without a body? So they have to prove, firstly, beyond reasonable doubt that she's dead, and secondly, beyond reasonable doubt that Chris Dawson caused her death. That's going to be very difficult for the prosecution.
Now, I know that occasionally one of the fallbacks that the courts use is a judge-only trial. Do you think that this might be a possibility for this trial?
Look, it's a definite possibility. That will be a strategic question for the defence to consider. Would they be better off with a judge-alone trial? So in that situation, the judge performs the role of the jury in addition to the normal judge roles and determines guilt or innocence. I used to be a practicing defence lawyer. From a defence perspective, you would consider going down that path when you believe the jury pool might be contaminated beyond redemption, and you're unlikely to get a fair trial. A difficult one to consider because juries can also go your way. Of course, juries, who knows, they might be convinced that, well, there's this perfectly plausible alternative explanation that she simply wanted to flee her life and reinvent herself somewhere else. So a difficult strategic decision for the defence.
And you are, of course, coming from the law side of the equation. Do you think that perhaps, you know, because I don't imagine this is going to be the last time something like this happens, what with true crime podcasts being as big as they are, do you think that in the future the media and public should perhaps do a bit more to keep out of the way in higher profile cases like these?
Well, look, I don't think that's ever going to happen. We're fascinated by crime. It infects our popular culture everywhere, movies, books, podcasts, TV shows. We're just fascinated by these stories. And we always have been. I mean, podcasts are the new form of media, but people used to write books about it. It's something as old as humanity itself. So I don't think that's going to go away, and neither should it. I mean, they are fascinating stories that involve profound issues of justice and fairness and redemption and so on. It's just something that the legal system has to manage, and we have evolved these mechanisms, such as judge-only trials and such as jury vetting, to do our best, but it doesn't always work.
Well, Andrew, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no trouble at all, Tess. Thank you.
That was Dr. Andrew Burke having a chat with us this morning about the difficulties of potentially getting a fair trial in the Chris Dawson case, arrested on Wednesday for being charged with the murder of his wife, Lynn Dawson, back in 1982.